I'm looking at all the verse, all the chapters. I read it about three times. So reading through and through of this Isaiah 42. I think he's speaking about God's servant, you know, God's people, and bondage, being in a prison condition, being in a weak place. He says, a smoking flask will he not quench, and a breeze reed will he not break. So it's like a place where somebody has come to destroy things, you know. So some things are already destroyed, but there are just a few that are still showing some sign of life. So like when you burn a place, if you go to burn a field, the field is there are areas where everything is burnt up, but you still see some showing signs of life, you know. So you still see smoke coming out, and some of them may be broken, you know, and not completely. So he's speaking about a remnant, that which is remaining, and which still has life. So he's saying, in that kind of situation, that he will not say, well, you just have a little life, just you're of no use, you know. So he's not coming to condemn, like we were saying last night. Robert was talking. That's why I condemn you. But rather, it's coming to bring life to that and bring encouragement. And then he talks about the prison, you know, those who are in prison. You open the prison door, bring them out. But the aspect I find, I can see about three places where it's mentioned about the blind. About the ear, you can see verse 7, I think.
Yes.
To open
the blind eyes.
I have called you in righteousness. I will hold the hand. I will keep thee. Mm-hmm. I will give thee for a covenant for the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eye, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison. I am the Lord, and that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. That's one. Then you see it in verse 16. I'll bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them a path that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. That is then the third place is 18. It says, hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I send? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observe not, opening the ears, but he hearing not. To me, it's like, part of this deliverance, you know, it's like coming to bring a revival, coming to it bring healing, coming to strengthen, coming to take the, you know, it's like the servant of God, of the Lord has been oppressed. There's something that has happened, and you know, person is oppressed, person is discouraged, person is knocked down, is not blind. He hears, but doesn't understand. You know, so it's like a visitation, you know, coming to lift up to a place where you know, where, you know, where there is hope. And like we were speaking yesterday, liberty. So I think that maybe it's again part of a specific word for to us at this time, a word from the Lord. I personally, for the past few years, I've been my attention has been, you know, arrested, or you know, something has caught my attention in the aspect about hearing and seeing. You know, for, and I think it's one area where there's a need for a clear understanding, and I think it's what is like what can take us from where we are to a higher dimension. I was reading a scripture yesterday in John, First John, First John 4, chapter 4. It's a scripture I known for. I used to, you know, I liked, but again, this is the one I read it. First John 4:17. Hearing is our Lord made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You know. So it says, as he is, so are we in this world. That is it's speaking about the nature. This is the, you know, we are speaking about clean and unclean nature. I think Brian Anderson was talked about it also. You know, the basics. You know, the basic aspects of our Christian walk. There are some things that are very, very fundamental, you know, and that is to see, you know, to know who we are. It's part of seeing, part of the blindness, you know, not to know who we are, not to know our rights and our privileges, not to know our calling, not to know the purpose of God, the promises of God. And part of it is not seeing it. Now, the scriptures, when the scripture talks about seeing, when you study it, the Bible talks about five different types of sin. There are five different types of sin. Before we go to that, let's look at Ephesians 1, because it talks about this fundamental, the importance of sin and this blindness. that is in the body and among God's people. Ephesians 1. In fact, I started praying the prayer for myself again. I used to pray that prayer, but I started to start praying it again. There's a prayer in 1 John, in Ephesians 1, from verse 17. From 16, it says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know." That's the blindness. So if the eyes of the understanding are not opened, you will not know, you will not see. And that is a major affliction. It's like a disease in the body.
This version says the eyes of your heart.
Good. Better.
Enlightened.
Very good. Okay, so it defines part of what I was going to say, the different types of eyes and seeing. So there is the eye in your body, in the body. That's not the only eye that we'll have. And, you know, he says, as he is, as Jesus is, so are we. You know, so the nature of Jesus is our nature now, should be our nature now. You know, so here, this one says that the eyes of others. So he's saying there is, and this one, he's saying there is not just the physical eye, there is the eye in the heart. So, man is, is a soul that has a body and that also has a spirit. So, in your body, you can see physically, but in your heart, you also can see. And in your spirit, you can also see. Because God is a spirit. You understand? And we are created in God's image. So God created me to look like him, to behave like him. I cannot come to my full potential unless I am like Christ. You know? So these are the limitations. These are some of the afflictions that has come in the body, because we are limited to only the natural, and that's part of what I was saying yesterday. You know, the limitations where we are limited to only the physical, you know, what we can see, the physical things. So we're only thinking of the body. Yeah, but there is a reality. There is a reality in the heart. And the reality, what you see with your heart, nobody can take it from you. And that is faith. Faith is not talking about your body. Faith is speaking about the eye of your heart. Okay? So let's leave faith, Hebrews. I will go to Hebrews. But first, let's finish with Ephesians. Then we'll go to Hebrews and talk about faith. Because it says faith is the hope of things not seen. There is something, you know. So we'll talk about that. Because without faith, you cannot please God. Without faith, you can't even seek. You can't please God. You can't see God. How can you see God that you have not seen? Alright? So, it says that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling. That's one. We may know. Now, this know, that word know, it is, the Greek word means to see. If you look at the Greek word, it's ginosko. It means to know. To know means to see with the heart. That's that word there, to know. We'll read it later. So we want to know what is the hope of my calling. Why has God called me? That is speaking about purpose, focus, and vision. So if I know why God called me, whatever pressure, whatever I'm going through, will naturally fall in place, because I know where God is taking me to. So when a man, the scripture says, my people are destroyed for lack of
knowledge.
That knowledge is seen, knowledge of the heart, not with the physical eye. So if we don't see with our heart, there'll be destruction. That is what Isaiah 42 is speaking about, the destruction in the body. Because we don't see. Even we don't see, the devil can come and just run around, do all kinds of things to us, because we don't know, we don't have vision. You know. So, and part of it is that we must know what is the hope of our calling. That's focus. You know, if I know why I'm called, then I have a direction. You know, where I'm going to. I know what God has called me for. I know the purpose. In fact, we have talked about being tossed around with every wind of doctrine, every situation, circumstance, any things, you know, people are just, we're just going at turning around, non focus. Any new doctrine or man of God or something that comes, say, hey, let me go. That's where I can get my freedom. No purpose, you know, and it comes from not being able to see. You know, that's one. Now look at the second one. And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What he's saying, that the people of God have an inheritance. Do you know your inheritance? Somebody can be a prince, you know. Somebody can, you know, God has given, you know, you many things, but you don't know. It's being aware. Again, it's speaking about the ability of your heart. What have you seen? Now, if a man knows his inheritance in God, or even physically, it changes your attitude. It changes your direction. It changes, you know, the way you do things, because you know your inheritance. Somebody can be going around as, you know, he can be rich, but he's not aware of it, and he's, you know, eating from the dustbin, he's hungry and playing around, and it comes from vision. So vision is very, 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 very important, because we do not know, and part of that riches is ability to see. Now, let me talk a little bit about the different types of sin, because here it's important. Now, if you look at different scriptures, you can look at it later, where it talks about sin. One, there is the physical sin of with the natural eye. There's a Greek word that is there. It uses the word blepharon. That means just a natural man seeing with the natural eye. Now, if you look at scripture, it says to open the eyes of the Gentile. When Paul went to Athens, when he went to Corinthians, when he went to Philippi, when he went to, were they physically blind?
No.
So when he went to the city, everybody there was physically blind. Is that what God sent him to do? So, the purpose of the gospel was not talking about physical blindness. So he's speaking about an affliction that was all over the people. Everybody had it. So it had to be a spiritual thing. He was speaking about the blindness in the heart. So one of the major things God said was to open the eyes of the Gentile to see. You know? So there is a natural sin and there is a spiritual sin, the sin of the inward man. And that was one of the major things. And when John chapter 1, chapter 3 says, a saved man be born again, he cannot
see.
He cannot see. That's the beginning. So the beginning step into the kingdom is what? To see. It's to see. And that seeing doesn't stop. It continues to a deeper and higher degree and dimension. So there's a natural sin. Now, there's another type of sin, which is called, the Greek call it scopios. And in the English, we will say scope. Eh? You see a big scope. It means looking at, you have an overview, you're looking at, in a place, like you stay on the top of this house, and you can have a big, you can see very far, is it not? It's called scope. You can see telescope. What's the telescope? You have a little thing in your eye, and you can see the planets. That's scope. That means insight. You use another word. You're looking at somebody. Somebody can look at something on the surface, but somebody comes and he has an insight. Scope. They use the word bent eye view. You see the ego. He's in a place where he can see very far, wide, you know. So that is part of the seeing. And that scope, that ability is that you're able to see into the plan of God, into the purpose of God. That's one side. The other part is you're able to also see what the devil wants to do. You can see the plan of the devil. You can see when temptation is coming. You can see the hand of the devil. You can see spiritual wickedness working. It's called discernment. Something is happening in your family. You don't know it's the devil. You're thinking it's just something natural. You know, maybe with your children, you can't see what the purpose of God for them, or even see the plan of the devil against them or against you. You can see. So being able to see is one major, if I can't overemphasize it. So it's a major affliction in the church that the people of God say, my people are blind. Say, who is blind but my servant? Because you are in a place, you don't know that the devil is walking and you are at ease. You know, and other. So it is fundamental. I don't know how the French is. It fundamental? It is so. It's basic. It is a must. You cannot. It's like good. It's like somebody that says you want to be part of Congo Army, or you want to be part of you go to war, and the man is blind. How do you take a blind man and make him a soldier? Huh? You give him weapon. Go and fight the devil, and he's blind. The battle is lost even before you start.
Aye.
And that is what is happening in church, an affliction, blindness. That's what the devil has brought. But it will see this blindness. Let me go to another scripture. I'll come back to you. So we've talked about the second part, scope. There are other types I will look at. But let me just bring the scripture to see the affliction. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. It says, having the understanding. What? Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Having the understanding, what? Darkened. Being alienated from the life of God. through the ignorance that is in them because of what? Because of what? Blindness of the heart. There's a blindness of the heart. And there's a blindness of the body. And when a man is blind, he's separated from the life of God. He can't. He can't touch God. He can't see. So the life of God is there. He's one side. He's going to another side. You know, it's an affliction in the body. So the blindness of the heart. Yeah?
Because of the heart.
Yeah, that's it. You're opening another, but because, you know, this is now talking about the different types of blindness of the heart. So, we'll come to that. You know, who being past feeding have given themselves over unto what? Lasciviousness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. When a heart is blind, it will be deceived. That was the word we got yesterday, the deception. And when somebody is walking in sin, it's because he's blind. He doesn't know. He thinks, oh, so fornication, adultery, telling lies, all those things are blindness. Because you think that there is life that I'm enjoying. You know, you think that there is life I'm enjoying, but in actual fact, I'm walking in rebellion, and I'm, you know, so when somebody is walking in rebellion, it's actually because he's blind. He cannot see. He doesn't know where he's going to. But okay, scripture says in John, he that hated his brother is in darkness, and he's going to fall because he doesn't, you know. Yeah. But he that loves his brother is in, you know, he's walking in the light, because God is love and God is light. You know, so it comes down to the practical. You can be blinded by hatred. You hate somebody, or you are blinded by offense. You're offended by the brethren. Can you see it? And that is what is happening in the church. I'm offended. Because I'm offended, I stay in my house. Mireille, don't mind that. She's a hypocrite. Look at what she did. And because Mireille did so and so, I will not come to fellowship again because Mireille didn't do so and so. It's blindness. Blindness. You know what I mean? So this is a common disease in the church and in the body. You know, the blindness of the heart. You know. There's 2 Corinthians 4 is another scripture that talks about this blindness. 2 Corinthians 4 from verse 3 say, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, you whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Look at verses. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, had shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, there is a blindness in the heart. You know, there's a blindness in the heart. And it is the gospel of Christ that begins to open the eyes. But you see, when your eyes are open, it doesn't mean that you see immediately. You can see everything. It's, you know, your eyes open, but there are dimensions of being able to see deep, being able to see far. And you know that if I'm here now, I can't see this Lake Kivu. I can't see because of where I am. Even if I come out in front here, I can't see. Because there are many buildings, many structures. Is it not? If I want to see, what do? If I climb to the top floor, the higher you go in God, the farther you can see. So when we are, so let's look at yesterday, we were looking at the creeping nature. I'm always, my mind is on the things on the earth, my emotion on the things of the earth, my desire on the things of the earth, my will, everything is earthbound. Can I see the plan of God for me? That's not going to happen because I'm so low. But if I climb up in God, I will be far from the things, you know. And when I'm high in God, I can see into the plan of God for me. I can see the purpose of it. The Bible says they will rebuke the enemy afar off. The enemy is very, very far. And when you are high in God, you can see it and you can rebuke it. You won't even let it come near you because before it does anything, you have already seen it. That's the power of vision. You know? There was a scripture that came to me. I was just dancing on my mind as I was speaking. Yes. You can see it also in John chapter 1. You see another thing about this darkness in John chapter 1. Okay, John chapter 1, verse 4 and 9. It says, in him, of course, in the beginning, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shining in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, go to verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So he's saying every man that comes to the world comes with darkness, blindness in the heart. And, of course, you can see where that blindness is the darkness of Adam, is it not? The good and evil. That seed. So, Adam received that seed and his heart became dark. Blindness took over the heart. If somebody says, all the lights of heaven, and that scripture, you know, in Jeremiah says, all the lights of heaven, of all the lights in the inward man, shut down. And, so you can see that when a man receives this light, and that light is in the blood, that's another dimension. That light is in the blood. God is light. You understand? The life of God manifests as light. So the Bible says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So when we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus, you know. So when the blood of Jesus comes, when somebody says, I want to receive Christ, he receives the word and he opens his heart. That blood that comes to him brings the light of God to his soul and opens. That's when you say, I have a father. You can see God as your father. You can see the kingdom of God. So it's like that's where you are born, you know. You see a little child, when the child is born, the sight breaks, you know, gradually you see there, so, you know, every day the child is seeing until the eyes are open and he can recognize, you understand, that is the new birth. That happens also to the inward man, the soul, you know, so you are born again. So being born again is not just something, the Kojibon said, it means I should enter my mother. He said, no. You know, he was speaking, that birth is the inward man. The inward man must be born anew, born again. That means he was born blind and now can see. Of course, we can see those who are born naturally blind. We know John chapter 9, that man who was born blind was 43 years old, is it not? Until he was healed, you know? And as he saw, he was like the new world. That's what happens in the spirit. That as we begin to come to God, God begins to heal the heart, begins to touch our eyes, open our eyes to know Him personally, you know? So that's an aspect where we don't even know who God is. We don't, you know, we're just hearing God, you know, we hear, but we don't really have a personal knowledge of God. Who is God? Because the more you know God, who know who God is, what is the plan of God? What is the purpose of God? You know, what does God want to, how does He want you to relate to Him? And it brings you to a closer walk with Him. Because it says that he that comes to God, yeah, Hebrews, he that comes to God must believe that He is. And that He's a rewarder of those that not seek Him, diligently seek Him. Because if you seek Him, okay, let me just go and try. You go, this is not working. Like someone said, let me go outside. There are people outside, let me go. You know, because the church has failed or the church has problem. The church is not perfect. Let me go outside. It's not a diligent seeking. Seeking means you look today, you don't see. You come again and look today. You tomorrow again. You are determined, I must find God. That is diligently. And when you do that, God sees the heart. He says, this man, really, he wants me. And the Bible says, draw near to God, and when He will do what? He will respond. Amen. So you can see, this seeing is a major thing. Ability to see. To know the hope of His calling. To know the riches of our inheritance in Christ. I mean, that is... You know, it's so big, you know, but I will jump that, you know, to come to the third one, to know the power of God, you know, and I'm crying, my God, I say, God, I want to see Your power. You know, you can have a father, for instance, somebody can be working in the UN, but you don't know the power of the UN. You can be the president of a country, but you don't know the power that you have. You don't know the power that your office commands. You might be an officer in an organization. You don't know your power. You are just playing around because there are so many things that you can do or that privileges that office gives to you. You are not aware. So you are just there. But somebody else comes there and you can see the difference because he knows the power. You can see it. And that is one major thing, that we do not know the power of God. We don't know the power of God. I don't know. Maybe you know. I don't. I say, God, open my eyes to see, to know the power of God. Hallelujah. And when I know the power of God, when I know it, the devil will not come there. Because I not only know the power of God, I know how to use it. I know how to use it. That means I am now kitted. And it's like you see a soldier that give him gun. He has a gun. He doesn't know how to shoot the gun. Maybe the gun has 10 functions. He only knows one. He only knows how to shoot. He doesn't know that you can set that gun and the gun can begin to shoot itself. He doesn't even know that you can set it, the gun can look and find the enemy. It's all still the same gun. You don't even know that gun, you can set it and it will fish out where the enemy. In fact, if the enemy is in a hole, the gun will go different. It will follow maybe the heat of the individual. They make guns like that. It is sensing the heat. Anywhere the man is going. You see the same gun that he has, though. Hallelujah. So the Bible said the weapons of our warfare. They are not carnal, but they are what? Mighty. Through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. So when there are strongholds, it's not that the devil is so powerful. It is that, you say, who is blind but my servant? We are blind. We don't know how to fight. We don't know how to, you know. So rather we will trust in natural, you know. So Christians, let us go and protest against the devil. Let us go and protest. We carry placard. We go on television, we talk. Those are good. They are fighting naturally. Let's go and join political party so that Congo will change. Let's go and do so and so and so. Those are carnal weapons. But the weapons of our warfare, that word, are mighty through God. And it's only a man that is, whose eyes have opened, who is able to be aware. You can discern the enemy, you know what he's doing, and you can't, you know. So let's read it. It's, I will close. Maybe some other time we will continue. I was going to read that part of this Ephesians. Ephesians 1, the later part of it. Look at verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Exceeding greatness. That is, there is no English word to express it. Exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And he gives an example of this power. You understand? He gives an example of this power. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. But let me draw our attention to something. Christ is buried in your soul. Christ, the seed of Christ is buried in your soul. This resurrection is 2,000 years ago, not that one. He's speaking about the resurrection of Christ in you. The coming forth of Christ. And that is the power. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Christ is in my soul as a seed. It has to grow. It has to comfort. It has to become. In fact, Paul said, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Amen. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ lives. So that means there has to be the seed of Christ you received is a potential. He's speaking about a resurrection that is about to happen in you. Hallelujah. So, the Christ must come forth. Anywhere Christ is, it must resurrect. So, God has planted a bomb, a time bomb. He put Christ there. As we begin to submit to the Spirit of Christ, as we begin to receive the Word of God, as we begin to receive the blood, those are the three things, the three ingredients. The Christ in you will burst forth. It will break. It's that when you take a seed and put it in the earth is you, your mind, your carnal mind, your family, those barriers. you know, of family, of tribe, of situation, job, you know, this, the bondage, all those things. Those are the earth. Christ is buried under. The Bible says that the greatness of his power, as he raised Christ from the earth, death could not hold him captive. The death in you, the death of the old Adam, can never hold captive the Christ in you. Hallelujah. Now, if you see it, if you understand it, you can never fail. So, the Bible says, whatever is born of God, overcometh the world. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, so when you see it, it's a new life for you. You can know that every day is a promise. Every day is an overcoming. You know, in fact, you are excited to be alive. You're not excited because you're going to go to work or go and do something. So it's no longer natural. That is in the spirit. You see a new life in the spirit. So every day is an opportunity for Christ to comfort in you. It's an opportunity for the life of God to burst forth in you. And so it comes from understanding the power that if death couldn't keep him. Do you know that there was a crusade in hell?
Yes.
You don't know there was a crusade in hell? Peter had a revelation. He said how he went and preached to spirits in prison. 1 Peter 3:18. He said Jesus, when he went and preached to prison. There was a big crusade in hell. He emptied hell. He said he led captivity captive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if he went to hell then, is it the hell in you? He's going to break it loose.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You understand? So he went and he led captivity captive. He delivered them. So if Peter says, all the men who were in bondage from the time of Noah, in Noah's time, all those. So when they ask you, okay, if Jesus comes, how about my great grandfather? Jesus led all of them. Hallelujah. Amen. How did the Africans hear the gospel? They heard the gospel when Jesus went there. He met all of them. Hallelujah. And he cleared. So when he resurrected, there was nobody in hell. All those who wanted to go with him, he went to heaven with him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So God's judgment is perfect. It's perfect. You know, how unsearchable are his wisdom. Hallelujah. So the power of God is, there is no, if we see it, if we understand, there is no sickness. Look at it, it's there. It's the next verse. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Now look at verse 21. Far above principality. Principality is speaking about spirits that rule over regions of the world. Princes of polity. Polity is the same word you have parish. Parish. It means sections. There are spirits that rule over Congo. There are spirits that rule over Goma. There are spirits that rule over whatever country, Nigeria or Nairobi or Uganda. There are. Bible says that the power of Christ is far above them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's one. Now look at the next one. And power. Power means nature. There are spirits that of anger, spirit of punia, spirit of murders, thefts, hatred, heresy. These are powers. You know, like Prabhupada was saying, when you are dealing with something and you find out that you cannot easily overcome it, you are dealing with a power, a spiritual nature, and it has deep roots. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Christ, you have authority over it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
But your heart must see it. That's a faith. You must have a reality that in Christ, this spirit, you cannot overcome it. I have authority. So the Bible says, resist the devil. What will he do?
He'll flee.
So the devil is not as powerful as we think. The devil is powerful because we are blind. We have not seen our authority. So resist the devil. You flee. Hallelujah. So the more you are aware, the more somebody, if you know you are right, can somebody oppress you? You are a manager. He comes to your office and start telling you this. Yeah. Sorry. This is my right. And the man will go away. If you tell him that this is my right, you resist you. You say, no, I don't agree. You activate your power. You give him a query. Or you write to management and say, somebody is coming to infringe on my right. They will say, my friend. In fact, they will discipline him. That's power. That you resist him. You will flee. So when the devil comes against you and you just keep quiet, oh, I'm an old little sinner. I'm trying in Goma to overcome. Oh, God, have mercy on me. I'm a this. They say, that one doesn't know what he's doing. Amen. So we think that humility is spirituality. You know, it's ignorance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, so but when we know our authority in Christ, the devil can't, in fact, he will not even dare come around because he knows. Because when you rebuke him, it is light he is sending forth.
Hallelujah.
Amen. When you say, in the name of Jesus, by the blood, he won't even allow you to finish, he's gone. Hallelujah. So say the, you know, far above principalities and powers and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. I have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's the church he's raising. So I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not.
Hallelujah.
You know? So these are, there are other ones, but these are three basic things that we can see. When God begins to open our eyes, we'll begin to see it. We see the purpose of God. We see our inheritance. You know, part of that inheritance is to be called the sons of God. We don't yet know what it means to be son of God. Hallelujah. See, behold one man of love, the Father, that we should be called the sons of God. And God, from the foundation of the world, he purposed, you see, he adopted us as sons. Hallelujah. In Christ. Sons. See, sonship is maturity of the inward man. It's like you have a little son, he's growing. You know? You have a grandchild, you see him growing every day. He's becoming mature. That's how your soul. Your soul is to be matured in the things of God. And it has to do with seeing, being aware. And not just being aware, but you begin to act. Now, there is something they are talking about. They tell you, age is a thing of the mind. Somebody can be 50 years in the body, but in his mind, he's 10 years. Is it also, they teach you that in management. You know, that's what they teach you now, management. You look at somebody, he's 70 years. In his mind, he's 5 years. So age is not physical. Age is in the mind.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So, God is looking at sons. Yeah, it's not a matter of your physical age. It's speaking about your maturity in your heart, your ability. And maturity means you know the rights of your father. You know the business of your father. And you are able to execute it. That's a son. When you have a son, you sit down and drink coffee. And say, yeah, good. These are the things I want you to do. In the end of the day, say, I have done them. Say, good boy. Isn't that so? Yeah. So when we are matured, the power of the will of God is that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Death. Darkness. So a mature son is someone who can see darkness, who can see the work of the devil, and who is strong. Is it not? And knows how to use the weapons of our warfare to put down the devil. That is the Son of God. You understand? So, God is calling us, and He's coming to us to heal us and lift us up from where we are into this new distance. So, we'll leave it. Let me stop here. But I was talking about the different types of sins. Not just I talked about the scope. All right, there's another type where you begin to investigate. The word theory. You know what a theory is? Theory means you investigate something. You understand how something is working. It comes from seeing. That is the ability to see, to have an understanding. So you're not just seeing it, but you are inwardly, you know how the things are working. That's another type of seeing. Hallelujah. And the right type of seeing is when you see something and you see in such a way that you now have an intimate knowledge of it. You really go deep down. Hallelujah. You know, so those are the different aspects of knowing. So, like for instance, Hebrews chapter 10 says that I will make a new covenant with you. Say, I will do what? I will put my law where? In your inward part. And no man will need to say to his brother, know the Lord, for we shall all see him. Amen. So, when you see God, you don't need to say to your brothers, you know. So everybody, all of us here, we have the ability to see God. How does God see? Does God have ear like this? Eh? God has ear like this. Psalm 94 says, He that created the ear, does He not hear? Does God have eye like this? Is that the thing that God uses to see? Seeing is a nature. Don't you understand? Seeing is a nature. And God, does God have mouth like this to speak? Hallelujah. So, seeing is like, so. I mean, have you seen the ear of a dog? Is it like your own? It's bigger. So, the dog can hear. It's so sensitive. Is it not? God has created your heart in a special way that your heart is so sensitive, it can hear. You can hear the voice of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So, the ability to see is a nature that is in the heart. The ability to hear is also a nature in the heart. Do you know that you can hold something in your heart? Eh? You can hold something. You're not just doing with your hand that you can hold. You can hold. When you understand something, you grasp it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You hold it. So the Bible says, lay hold on eternal life. It's in your mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, everything your body can do, your heart. In fact, it is first in your heart. Yeah. In fact, what is in the body is only a small part of the capacity that is in you. Because it says, as He is, so are we in the world. Hallelujah. So, the best thing that could have happened to you is that God has given us eternal life. He has sent Christ to open our eyes, to quicken us up. Hallelujah. You know, so that's Isaiah 42. It's a message of hope. And I think that's the word God is sending to us. That it's a smoking flask will that not break, and a breeze reed will that. He said, I'm going to bring judgment to the Gentiles, to the islands. The island means low places. You know, when you are low in God, God says He's bringing judgment to you. He said, He will lift up us. You know, open the prison doors, bring liberty, bring healing. Open the prison door, you know, bring a general revival, you know. So I think we can this morning make a response to God. Part of the blindness is the hardness of the heart, where our heart is no longer sensitive. You know what hardens the heart? Sin. Sin has come and hardened the heart, but God can heal it. Amen. God can restore the heart, and our heart will become tender again. You know, we can tremble. I said the fear of God is the beginning. So we can ask God to give us the fear of God, and our heart to be tender. We will not be deceived. There is sin deceives. I said deception that sin brings. I said deception that riches, pleasure of the world, pleasure of sin, you know, comfort, you know, the pleasures of life, you know. So there are some who are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It brings a hardening, you know. So I think we can make a response this morning and ask God to perform His word, perform His word to us in Jesus' name.
About this kind of sin that can lead you to the death, because the Bible is talking about it. We should talk about some types of sins. I would like to be clarified concerning this sin that can lead you to the death. According to the Bible, what the Bible is saying.
Which particular place? I don't understand the question.
I think we're talking about that, the one the scripture says, there is a sin.
Unto
death. Unto death. That is like
sin. Okay, sin, not yes. Sin. Okay, sin. Unto
sin
death.
That will lead you to death.
Okay,
that will
okay.
Lead you die.
Okay. No, what I think the Bible says it is a sin against the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
It says that the sin against if somebody blasphemes, because remember there was a time when the Pharisees or those lawyer people, they said Jesus was a magician, a caster out devil by Beelzebub. You know. So he said, no, don't go there. He says, there is a sin that cannot be forgiven. So any kind of sin, God can. But the sin against the Holy Ghost, you cannot, it's also unpardonable. So I think that is it. Where somebody has rejected Christ and begin to blaspheme. Blaspheme to the point of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. He says that one, we cannot. And so I think, and I am yet to see somebody. I've been a Christian for so many years, above 30 years. I'm yet to see somebody who has come into that kind of condition. So it's not something that happens anyhow. It's a very serious. I'm yet to see anyone. God said, leave this one. His own is finished. You know, so. So it's not something. It's not somebody you meet on the road. It has to be very, 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 very serious. And I'm yet to see. It's possible there may be people, but I think it's very rare.
Would it be a condition like you gave an example of somebody that God left?
Left how?
Sister Margaret. Remember the scripture you gave the other day? About somebody that will this be linked to somebody that have rejected God, like completely rejected.
Someone can reject God and not blaspheme.
So the aspect of blaspheming.
Is it blaspheming? If someone can say, "I don't want again," I don't believe in this. You are born again, something and all that. That's a backsliding, you know. Because someone can be overtaken by his spirit. But the blasphemy is when it's a much more, you know, I don't know, in my own understanding, I think it's a much more serious thing where the person blasphemes God, blasphemes the name and all that.
Can it be the sin against the person of Christ?
I don't think it's the one of the, because it's the Holy Spirit that convicts.
So if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, he leaves you.
Because that is it, Christ abused Christ, no problem. But when you blaspheme against that, you reject the Holy Spirit that comes to convict you.
You are gone. And in the same way, this is another part of it. And for you, you have to be careful. This one, we have to be careful. If God sends a message to you, or sends a messenger to you, and you reject that messenger, it's over. You will not get another messenger. You know, it's like God sends a messenger to you. You say, you don't want, send another one. It's okay now. It's not you that determines. God sends somebody to you to bring a message. You say, I don't want the message. That is the end. You're not going to get another one until you repent. So it's a very, very, if when God brings a message to you, you better receive it. You that means you're responding to go and check, is it God? If it's God, you have to respond. If you don't check, and after some time, the message, you don't have the opportunity to hear the message anymore. Yeah, because God sent it to you. I don't know if you understand.
Yeah.
So, because the message will not always continue to come. For example, brother says, he came. After some time, he stopped coming. Suppose that's when they woke up, they want to hear the message. But the one was coming. It's now that you are waking up, sorry. They say that ship has traveled. You know what people say? They say the ship has sailed. It has left the harbor. You say ship come back. Say sorry, I was here all along. You know. So when God sends a message to you, you have to be. It's your responsibility. You know, to go to God and say, this word is it from God? If it's from God, it's your responsibility to respond to it. You know. So there are people who have rejected the message, and they are not going to get another messenger. And until you go back, and that is if the message is still available, you know, you have to go and buy. That's part of buying the oil. So you buy the oil when it's easy. Say, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You know, so that's the other flip side of what we're talking about the Holy Spirit, you know, convicting. If you resist the Holy Ghost, there is nothing more that can be done. So it's something for us to really meditate on that and make a response. So I think we can pray.